Hello and welcome to our site. We've decided in these few sermons to take a look at our spiritual health. In our sermon last time, we took a look at the vital signs of spiritual health. And right now, take your Bible and let's turn to Acts chapter 2 and have a Bible reading there where we break into Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, and then let's be challenged in the sermon by just considering some of the visible signs of spiritual health. You'd have to admit that one of the greatest sermons ever preached was the sermon by Peter on the day of Pentecost, when God gave the Holy Spirit to the church. And we break into his sermon in Acts chapter 2, and reading from verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. A few chapters later, in Acts chapter 4, if you'd like to look at that, we see the believers at prayer in the last part of Acts chapter 4, and we read from verse 31, "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had, and with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us as we consider now the visible signs of renewal. Last time we spoke about the vital signs of spiritual health, those things deep down in your spirit that indicate that God is at work in your life. Do you remember them? A deep hunger to know God himself more intimately. A definite sense of progress in your walk with God. A delightful awareness of the fact that God is answering prayer. A discernment about the will of God for your life, and a determination to see your spiritual desires overcoming your sensual demands. If these vital signs of spiritual life and health are present in our lives, it shouldn't be long before we begin to evidence the visible signs of spiritual health. God's presence, God's glory. Moses experienced a wealth of spiritual treasures on the mountain with God that nobody else was aware of. But when he came down from the mountain, the Israelites could tell that he had been with God. They became aware of God's presence not only upon Moses, but in their midst. The glory of God was evident in the nation again. That's what happens when we're spiritually healthy. It becomes evident, it becomes visible, it becomes tangible. Do you remember how the Apostle John describes the incarnation of our Lord in his Gospel? Writing of Jesus as the Word, he says, "The Word became flesh and lived among us for a while, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father's presence, full of grace and truth." John 1:14. And the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge, the experiential knowledge, of the glory of God in the face of Christ." 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. Do you remember the reaction of the Jewish Sanhedrin when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that though they were unschooled, ordinary men, they had been with Jesus, and they were astonished? Acts 4:13. And a few chapters later we read, "All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel." Acts 6:15. "And he," Stephen, "full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Now, friend, these may be unusual and extraordinary, visible signs of God's presence, but they do help us to get hold of some spiritual principles that are timeless and universal. In genuine spiritual renewal, in genuine spiritual health and maturity, it's not long before some visible signs of God's presence are made manifest for all to see. The vital signs give birth to visible signs. Let's consider just three of them in this sermon right now. Are you ready? Fasten your seatbelts. First of all, an unmistakable devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ becomes visible. An unmistakable devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ that governs, motivates, controls every part of our lives. Secondly, an undeniable dynamic from the Holy Spirit, the fullness of his power, the control of the third person of the Trinity. And then thirdly, an unshakable dedication to the Great Commission. Time, talents, treasures, all expended on one overriding passion: to make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. A desire to see the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God leading to salvation, to be spread abroad to all who have not heard. Well, are these visible signs evident in your life and mine today? That's the burning question. Let's unpack them just a little. First of all, an unmistakable devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible open at the book of Acts, the moment the disciples are baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the fires of devotion spread. The 120 disciples become 3,120 in a day. That's church growth for you. And in the days that follow, we read in Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Well, during this pandemic, we're finding it exceptionally difficult to do these things virtually, but I'm sure that those who are sincere are doing them anyway and making the best of what we're able to do with the wonderful gift of technology. And these people saw the grace of God so evidently, so visibly at work. They were so generous. There was no needy people, no needy person among them. And this work still goes on today. What a wonderful blessing to be spiritually healthy, to be able to have a relationship with God that is evident, that is visible, and that is seen in the grace of God that flows from our lives in the way in which we pray for one another, encourage one another, hold one another up in these difficult times, and give to those who are in need. What a wonderful blessing. And to be able to praise God with glad and sincere hearts as these believers did, they never stopped praising. You see, praise is simply spiritual health made audible. Did you get that? Praise is simply spiritual health made audible. Whenever God's people are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's audible praise. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say it, rejoice, says Paul from prison, beaten and bound in a Philippian jail, and he's singing hymns to God at midnight and witnessing to the other prisoners. And then the spiritual health of these early believers is seen in their great boldness. Great grace, great giving, great praise, great fellowship, great prayer, and great boldness. When they saw the boldness and courage of the apostles who endured scorn, ridicule, persecution, they were astonished and took note of these men that they had been with Jesus. Acts 4:13. An unmistakable devotion to Jesus Christ. That's the first visible sign of spiritual health. The obvious reality that Jesus is Master, that he is Lord of the life, and we stand up for Jesus unashamed. Stephen is martyred because of unmistakable devotion to the Lord Jesus, and he dies praying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, and do not lay the sin to their charge. And Saul, his persecutor, released by Stephen's prayer of forgiveness, the prayer of a spiritually healthy disciple, Saul of Tarsus encounters Jesus on the Damascus Road and spends every day of his life from then on in unmistakable, wholehearted devotion to Jesus Christ. Beaten unmercifully, flogged 5 times, stoned, starved, shipwrecked, shivering, naked, mugged, and he says, and I quote, "To me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." See what's happening here, friend. Stephen, who is spiritually healthy, wholly devoted to the Lord Jesus, like Jesus, in forgiveness, releases Saul of Tarsus, his persecutor, in forgiveness. And Jesus had taught, what is bound on earth is bound in heaven, and what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And so Saul is released to God in a spirit of forgiveness from a healthy Christian, Stephen, and it's not long before Saul of Tarsus beats the dust in an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. And from then on, listen to what he says about himself and his companions. Paul, a servant, a love slave of Jesus Christ to the church at Rome. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. Paul, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ to Titus, my true son, in our common faith. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Do you see it? The first visible sign of real spiritual health in a believer's life is an unmistakable devotion to Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord of all. He occupies our thoughts, our words, our attitudes, and he is seen in our actions. My late father-in-law was once called the Crawford King because he was able to consume so much Crawford's whiskey in East London. But he encountered Jesus one day. His life was totally changed. When I was introduced to him, the friend of his introduced me to him, saying, "Meet Nick Carter, the miracle man." He used to be called the Whiskey King around here, but now we call him the miracle man. His life had totally been transformed by an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he grew to maturity in Jesus, and it was obvious to everybody in the town that Nick Carter was a follower of Jesus, that he had an unmistakable devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ, and had a gentle, bold witness, shared the gospel with so many, many people. And I know the story's true because I happen to be married to his daughter. Secondly, an undeniable dynamic from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "You will receive power, dunamis, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Baptized into the omnipotent or powerful Spirit of God, with whom nothing is impossible. Even way back in the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel was crumbling, and when nations were crumbling around him, the prophet Micah said, "As for me, I am filled with power by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, a healthy Christian has a healthy relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit," says the Lord of hosts. The new covenant promise of God was that the Holy Spirit would dwell within God's people and give them everything they needed to be what God wanted them to be, to do what God wanted them to do, and to go where God wanted them to go, and to say what God wanted them to say. The Acts of the Apostles is simply the acts of the Holy Spirit of Jesus at work in the life of believers. Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 4:3, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly, all of them. Acts 6:5, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. They could not stand up against his wisdom or the Spirit by which he spoke, verse 10 of Acts 6. Then in Acts 7, we see his story. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is for character. It is visible in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the visible evidence of the Christ life through the indwelling Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is the likeness and character of Jesus becoming evident in the life of the believer. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for service. They too are visible, identifiable. Some are audible, some are silent, but all are visible and useful for building the body of Christ to maturity and productivity. So spiritual maturity is seen in character, and it is seen in service. But it is not our activity, it's the activity of the Holy Spirit inspiring our activity. What a wonderful blessing. Ephesians 5:18 and following, the visible evidence of spiritual health in the individual, in the church, in the marriage, in the family, in the workplace, and in the world. It's all there if you look at it in Ephesians chapter 5. It's all an outworking of verse 18, what it means to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit of Jesus. That brings blessing into the whole church, the body of Christ, as we minister to the Lord and minister to one another and minister to our world. And it's attributable to the person and work of the blessed Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk or intoxicated with wine, says the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:18, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't really need me to tell you that when a person is intoxicated, they behave naturally. You don't have to tell them to raise their voice or to walk in a crazy, staggering manner. They behave unnaturally, naturally, because they're under control of a different spirit. Now, the mature believer, the spiritually healthy person, why, he behaves supernaturally, naturally. The character of Jesus and the life of Jesus becomes evident in his life, his words, and his deeds. The healthy Christian walks in the Spirit, to use a Bible term. He is led by the Spirit. He is empowered by the Spirit, gifted by the Holy Spirit, counseled and comforted by the Holy Spirit. What does that look like? Well, it makes you look like Jesus. Take the Holy Spirit out of the Acts, and you don't have any Acts worth talking about. Nothing of eternal worth is done in the Christian life except by the Holy Spirit of God. So, are you a Spirit-controlled believer? Am I filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him? Or are we controlled by our own self-orientated agenda? Sadly, the average Christian seems to have got lost somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. I do pray that's not so in your case and in mine. What are the visible marks of spiritual health? First of all, an unmistakable devotion to Jesus Christ as Lord of the life. Second, an undeniable dynamic from the Holy Spirit. who changes us from the inside out, so that our character reveals something more as we grow in Christ, of the character of Jesus himself. And our actions, our words, our deeds demonstrate the grace of Christ. These are visible signs of spiritual health. And then thirdly, an unshakable dedication to the great commission of our Lord. Jesus said before his ascension, Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses from Jerusalem, through Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Every Christian should study every aspect of the Great Commission of Jesus. If you need the references just to check on them, jot these down. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. "As you go into your world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Luke chapter 24, verses 45 to 47. Jesus opens the minds, the spiritual eyes of the disciples, and teaches them before he ascends the tenets of the gospel, the necessity of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and then the necessity to wait to be clothed with power from on high, so that we can be his witnesses. And then in John 20, John 21 and 23, John chapter 20, Jesus, the risen Jesus, appears to his disciples and he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He says to his disciples, showing them his hands and his side, he says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, which I quoted just a little earlier. Simply put, it is a commission given to every Christian to share the good news about Jesus with others. Who Jesus is, what he has done to accomplish salvation for us, through his substitutionary death on the cross, his triumphant resurrection, the incarnation and the Easter story, and then on to Pentecost, which we celebrate in 2 Sundays' time, the coming of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a disciple-making commission, and Matthew highlights that in his version of the commission. It's a church-planting commission, and Matthew draws attention to that. Believers are to be gathered into believing communities where they are taught all that Jesus commanded, so that they in turn can go out and make disciples. Mark reminds us that it's a global commission. It is to embrace the whole world, all of creation. John in his gospel reminds us it's a costly commission. Jesus shows them his hands and his side, and he says, "As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And then Luke reminds us that it is a content-filled gospel that we must learn to pass on to others. And it is a Holy Spirit-enabled commission, Acts 1:8. Friends, Jesus has said he will only return when the gospel of the kingdom of God is taken to every people group on earth. This is more than a good idea or an invitation. It's a clear command of Jesus that we all be on mission with God. The sign of a healthy believer is that he knows that he is on mission with God every day, a witness and a disciple, an ambassador of Jesus in a lost and broken world. To join Jesus in his ministry, to redeem a lost and dying humanity. What a wonderful opportunity we have during this pandemic to be out there where the action is, in feeding schemes or whatever way we can share the good news about Jesus. Friend, if you don't evangelize, you will fossilize, and God doesn't want a church full of fossils. As we see from the Acts of the Apostles, the third visible sign of spiritual health is a passion for the spread of the gospel, a passion to be on mission with God. How can you tell when Christians and churches are spiritually sick? Well, you can easily tell. They're caught up with trivial diversions and tragic divisions.
They'd caught up with budgets and buildings and programs and all sorts of stuff. What a tragedy when we neglect the basics of the Christian gospel, the Christian message, and the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus. Pursuing health and wealth and happiness, instead of taking up our cross and following Jesus and seeking to disciple the nations. Healthy Christians recognize that they're not their own. They were bought with a price, so they glorify God alone by a life of obedience to the Great Commission. That may be in the classroom at school, when schools reopen. It may be on the playing field, when the playing fields reopen. It may be in the office, and let's hope soon the offices will reopen in a new kind of order and fashion. Wherever it may be, in the laboratory, in the workplace, in the home, make disciples who will make disciples. It's a mark of spiritual maturity, of spiritual health. Followers of Jesus who become like him and continue the work he left behind, the work of taking the gospel to the nations. You don't have to go too far these days. Globalization and people migration. Friends, the nations are on our doorstep wherever you go in the world. You'll find them a few houses down from where you live. Here are the marks, or at least three of them, that tell us whether we're spiritually healthy or not. An unmistakable devotion to Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, our Shepherd and our Friend, our Redeemer and our King. Secondly, an undeniable dynamic from the Holy Spirit. Being filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, seeing the character of Jesus and the works of Jesus coming from our lives visibly. And then thirdly, an unmistakable, unswerving dedication to play our part, whatever part that may be, in fulfilling the Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us then to keep on growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to advance to full manhood, to maturity. Thank God, Jesus has redeemed us so that we can be not spiritual babies, but full grown, attaining to the full measure of Christ. And so God bless you as we continue to devote ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus, submit ourselves to the control and ministry of the blessed Holy Spirit, and give ourselves in an unshakable, unswerving dedication to being part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we bow together in a word of prayer? Our Father and our God, we thank you that once again we can turn to you in prayer. We recognize that we fall so far short of the mark of your glory. We recognize, Lord, that in some areas of our lives we're still pygmies, where we ought to be giants in the faith, and we ask your forgiveness. But we pray now, Lord, that in a renewed dedication to Jesus, a renewed submission to the Holy Spirit's influence and grace and power and enabling, and a renewed dedication to the fulfillment of your commission to our lives, that we will just keep advancing to maturity. Grant, Heavenly Father, that we may, as the writer to the Hebrews exhorts his readers, leave behind the elementary things of the Christian life and go on to maturity. Thank you, Father, that we can pray for one another. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that in these days we can serve one another, that we can care for one another, that we can lift one another up to the throne of grace, and we do that now. Especially once again, we pray for those who are suffering as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for those, Lord, who are isolated. We pray for those who are quarantined. We pray for those who are in the hospitals of our world, and we ask, dear Lord, that you would graciously make yourself known to them, grant them your touch and your peace, and bring about your healing where it will bring glory to your name. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. Oh, dear Lord, there are so many thousands and thousands of people in the world today, right at this moment, grieving the loss of loved ones. And we lift them up in prayer. And we pray that you, the God of all comfort, the Father of mercy, would graciously make yourself known to them, that they may know your presence, and that they may know your peace, the peace of God that surpasses human understanding, watching over them, keeping guard over their hearts and minds, in the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray for our world leaders and for those who are influencing decisions that influence the lives of millions of people today, and we ask that wisdom from above may be given. And then, our Father and our God, we pray most of all that all over the world there may be a turning to you. That, Heavenly Father, you would use this coronavirus pandemic to grant a fresh outpouring and move of the Holy Spirit of God to bring spiritual awakening to people who are spiritually dead. Open the eyes of the hearts of multitudes to recognize who Jesus really is and what he has done through his death and resurrection. And grant, our Father, that during this pandemic there may be millions of people around the world who will hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by repenting of their sins, placing their trust in Jesus, and receiving him by faith as their Lord and their Savior, their Redeemer and their King. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, evermore. Amen.
Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now.